Keegan.
And I'm Madigan.
And you're listening to
Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist.
This is a podcast where we explore the world through our own personal feminist perspectives.
Bravo. Bravo.
Yeah, it's not like I practiced that before we started. Or
definitely
anything.
Not.
You know, didn't want a repeat of last week's mistakes.
Absolute catastrophe. Disaster.
Well, this week I'm trying to record with headphones on and it's very weird. I feel like I'm very far away from you. I don't love it. So we'll see how this goes.
All right.
But we're trying to cut down on that buzzing sound that you all heard in the last couple of episodes.
Yeah, so it was not fun for me editing to hear it. So I'm sure it wasn't fun for any of you to hear it either. And it was so frustrating.
Sorry.
Sorry about that. We're going to try to make it better this time around.
Yes. Okay. So I've got a couple topics to discuss this week. Do you want me to go first or do you want to go
first?
I do
as well. I mean, I feel like the topics that I have are both things that have been heavily discussed in the news.
Okay, great.
And I'm wondering if there's anything that like we have is similar.
Probably.
Travis Scott, Astroworld.
Yes. Okay, great. I've got pages on that. That's okay. What I was going to start with.
Wonderful.
This week.
Okay, that's the first thing I have in my notes as well. So let's get that started. Where do we start?
Well, last weekend at the Astroworld Festival, 8 people died and some 25 were treated at hospitals, with hundreds more suffering injuries after a crowd surge at the performance by Travis Scott in Houston.
Yes.
So the dead range in age from 14 to 27.
Yeah.
And again, 25 people were hospitalized, with the youngest patient being 9 years old.
Yeah.
It's truly just like really devastating. And a lot of the things that you're seeing, because of course this is a tragedy that's happened in the modern era. So we're seeing a lot of firsthand video footage and accounts, of what took place there.
And it also has to do with celebrities, which also adds to that intrigue.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yes. And of course it's just like Jenner Kardashian adjacent,
you know. So yeah, I kind of like it. Forgot about that at first and I was like, oh shit, yeah, he's with Kylie Jenner. That is wild. It's something that I feel like really could have been prevented or at least stopped much sooner, and that is, I think, the thinking of a lot of people. I've seen a lot of videos of other concerts and things like that where the artists have noticed right away and been able to shut things down, or where security notices things right away and are able to swoop in and take care of things. And it really seems like the planning, specifically for security, was really, really poorly done for this event.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's something that a lot of people are criticizing here, because we don't know exactly what caused it. There seemed to have been like a lot of factors that played into the chaos. I mean, the pens essentially that they were keeping them in to kind of like differentiate between like VIP levels at the concert.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of prevented movement. There were also not enough medical staff there, not enough security there. And so I think that there were a lot of things that played into it. However, I think the reason why people are being so critical of Travis Scott specifically is, one, because of what you just said. I went to so many rock punk shows.
Yeah, and those are like the videos that I've seen are from like really intense like punk rock shows and stuff.
I was a little girl, like
terrifying
in mosh pits, right? You know, and like of course you come out of it with scrapes and bruises and like all kinds of things. But there was usually this kind of air of like safety.
Yeah.
Right. Like that was important. Like it was like, we are here to have a good time.
Yeah. We're not here to get anybody hurt.
Yeah. And so even though, you know, the fire chief said, you know, like everything was up to par as far as like inspection goes.
I mean, the only thing that I want to interject with really quick when it comes to the firefighters, because what I read on CNN was that firefighters stationed outside were not in radio communication with the emergency medical providers hired by the concert organizers. And that's part of the lawsuit against the organizers of the concert. Houston fire officials asked concert organizers for a radio to communicate, but were only provided with cell phone numbers, which didn't work due to poor service. So there was no real communication with the help that was stationed outside and the people that were inside.
Oh, absolutely. The communication was super messed up.
Yeah.
I only say that because the fire chief did insist that the venue had met inspectors' criteria as far as like safety
capacity
protocols and like entry and exit.
I mean, it seems like when you get enough people and enough like energy going in a crowd, if they start to rush the stage, everybody, it's kind of that mob mentality. And like the way that it was being described in a lot of the CNN articles that I was reading was like a crush. They were crushed.
Yeah. It's death by compression, essentially. Yeah, like your chest is being compressed.
It was like a stampede. Yeah. It's terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying to think about. I've seen videos of stuff like that happening at concerts, and it almost reminds me of like the January 6th riot a little bit too, where we saw videos of people being really pushed and compressed into spaces.
Right. It's very scary. I mean, there was one, and I feel like a lot of people have heard about this now because I think Georgia told this story on My Favorite Murder, but kind of recently. But there was a massive disaster like this that happened, I think, in 1989 in Liverpool at a soccer game where like 96 people died.
Yeah.
And they described how awful it was because, you know, a lot of the survivors described how scary it was that you could like see the sky and like your mouth and your nose wasn't covered up, but you could not breathe because like the pressure on your chest. So something to keep in mind if you're ever at a show like that and you're experiencing something like that. One thing that I read was to try and get your arms and like your forearms and your wrists
to like cover your
in front of your rib cage, like in front of your body.
Yeah. So your arms, like your forearms are like touching in front of your chest. So you're covering your rib
cage. So think like wrists together underneath your chin kind of situation so that you can try and get in as much air as possible. So that
You're protecting, you know, your lungs and your ribs from being crushed at least a little bit.
Yeah, I thought that that was very good information to know because that could happen to any of us. Like if you go to concerts like this or if you go to music festivals or you go anywhere where it's like a large group of people.
Yeah.
And every concert I've ever been to, if you're in the front, you're getting pushed up against. Like, it's just the way that it is. Yeah,
everybody wants to get to the front.
Right, yeah. So there's that constant pressure pushing forward. So, you know, I think that there were a lot of factors at play. There was also, there were signs that this was going to be an issue beforehand. I mean, people had knocked down barricades. People had gotten trampled earlier in the day, rushing the VIP section. So that should have been a red flag as far as I'm concerned to security.
Definitely.
To keep an eye out on this situation. But I think people are really upset with Travis Scott also because him and the show's organizers, Live Nation, didn't stop the show immediately.
Yeah.
So the police department saw attendees, quote, going down at 9:30 p.m. And around that same time, fire officials initiated a, quote, mass casualty incident at 9:30. And yet the concert went on for another 40 minutes before being canceled.
Yeah.
And then Travis Scott went out because Drake was a surprise performer that night.
And then Drake came on and started to perform. So now he's being roped into all of this too.
Yeah. And Travis Scott went to Drake's after party afterwards, like after the event. And people are like, well, he may not have known this, that he knew that something happened, but he didn't know the severity of what happened.
But like, I also read that all of the producers for the artists were made aware of the situation once the incident was reported.
And that's how I feel as well. Like, I have a hard time believing that he wasn't aware that people had died or at least were in critical condition because we have that now very famous video of that person, you know, climbing on the platform and telling the camera operator, there were two individuals who climbed a platform during the show and said, yelling, and they're like, you need to stop the show. People are dying. Like, you need to stop the show. And the camera operator kind of like shoos them away. And
what do you think? They're being hyperbolic? Like,
a lot of people are like, well, what was he supposed to do? Listen, if you've ever like worked on a show before, like even a theater production, or you've been on a set of any kind, a lot of those people are in constant communication. Like,
right, and you
have
know
headsets.
Somebody who's higher up.
Right, and they're usually connected via headsets or walkie-talkies. So for him not to have informed anyone, and maybe he did, but for that not to have made it up to somebody who could have halted the show, I have a hard time believing that. You know,
and it is, to me, it just seems like he wasn't taking this person seriously.
That's what it looks like.
100%. Yeah. And that's kind of one of those things where this has happened in concerts and festivals and in venues like this before. So you'd think that if you're hearing, you know, that cry, that you would respond to it and immediately know that it was legitimate and not take it as being,
or at least
blown
escalate it immediately so that someone can take a look, you know. And you know what? Shows have been stopped for less.
Yeah.
For far less. So it just feels like, even if you're not 100% certain, why not pause? Just pause, pull the lights up.
Yeah.
Just to see, you know. And then I also have a hard time believing they didn't know anything was going on, because Kylie Jenner posted a story to her Instagram stories because she was there.
Right.
And you can clearly see a ambulance in the middle of the crowd. And she deleted that Instagram story.
Of course she did.
So how, like,
you knew.
What did you think was going on?
Yeah, like, that's not normal to have an ambulance in the middle of your venue as a concert's going on.
Yeah. So, and then Travis Scott's apology. Did you watch that thing?
Of course I didn't watch it. I'm like, there's no way I'm going to watch some, like, pathetic apology like that. I just read some of the quotes from it.
It was so bizarre. So I had, like, I was, like, on this the next day, and I was still in bed, and I, like, got on both Kylie Jenner and Travis Scott's Instagrams because I wanted to see if they had said anything, and they didn't for, like, a minute. And then later on in the day, I was like, I'm going to check again. And
oh, you know, their publicists or whatever all morning were concocting statements for the both of them.
It is so, his quote-unquote apology, first of all, he doesn't apologize, not really, which
I hate that.
I imagine is probably his PR team telling him not to admit fault.
Right.
But it is one of the weirdest things from a body language perspective I've ever seen. Like, he won't stop touching his face. He's, like, rubbing his face. It's so weird.
That is really weird. I think I remember hearing somewhere that that's, like, a tell for lying if someone keeps, like, messing with their face.
Did I watch a body analyst, did a body language analyst break down this video? I sure did.
Did somebody go down a YouTube rabbit hole? I think they did.
Well, I already followed this guy. It's like Observe is the channel.
Okay.
And that's all he does.
What is they, like, what do they say?
He said that it's either like he's on something that's affecting his like ability to communicate, or he's being deceptive. Like, but, you know, okay, it's not a perfect science. I'm just saying it looks shady. That's all I'm saying personally. But he is facing some legal consequences.
Yeah.
As is Live Nation. Lawsuits have been filed against him and Live Nation, as well as others associated with producing the show.
Including Drake.
Including Drake. That's a civil lawsuit from somebody who was there.
Right.
I mean, a 14-year-old died.
Yeah.
I imagine that we're going to be seeing more of that stuff come down the pipe. It's just 100%. Really sad. It's just really, really sad.
It is really sad. I do want to take a moment to discuss who the 8 victims are. A vigil has been made at the NRG Park for the 8 concert goers who lost their lives. And they are John Hilgert, who's a freshman in high school in Houston, Texas. Franco Patino, who is a 21-year-old Dayton University student originally from Illinois, who was also a member of the Society of Hispanic Professional Engineers. Jacob Jirinek, who was a 20-year-old Naperville native who went to Southern Illinois University, who was interested in journalism. Rudy Pena, Mirza Danish Baig, I hope I'm saying their last name correctly, who died saving her sister-in-law from the attacks. Brianna Rodriguez, who was 16 years old and a junior in high school in Houston. She was in the school band. Axel Acosta, who was a 21-year-old from Washington and studying to be an engineer. And Madison Dubisky, who was 23 and from Cypress, Texas, and was involved in community service organizations for mothers and daughters.
It's just really sad. And, you know, it's one of those things where I think anytime anyone dies in a tragedy like this, of course, it's not like you woke up thinking today is the day I'm going to die.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just, as someone who has gone to so many shows, it's so unexpected. Like,
yeah.
The excitement you have going to a show, you're going to see one of your favorite artists, maybe.
For real.
You know, it's an outdoor festival after a year of a lot of uncertainty.
Yeah, and you're like expecting to have a ton of fun and make a lot of memories and have something really, really wonderful happen.
Right.
You don't anticipate being unsafe.
It's so, it's just so, like, anytime something's unexpected like that, it just hits me really hard.
Yeah.
You know,
'cause totally.
It's just really sad. And I do want to say one last thing before we end on this topic. And that is, I've seen a lot of stuff online, kind of like veiled dog whistly racist stuff about like the types of people who were at this show. Right. Oh, quote
no,
unquote.
No, we're not going to do that.
A lot of the people there, of course, are like hip hop fans. A lot of it's a very black city. Houston is a very black city. A lot of the people there were black. And that's basically what they're saying when they say like the type of people who were in the crowd. And there has been a lot of comparisons, not unlike what we just did to rock shows who have a very different kind of crowd typically.
Yeah.
And I just want to say that this is not, that's not what this is, because like Kendrick Lamar has stopped shows to make sure that people are safe. That's not what this is about.
Yeah,
it's
this
not
is
about
not
the type of people who were in the crowd.
Music genre or race issue.
Right.
This is
exactly
something else.
So I did just want to touch on that very quickly because I realize I went to a lot of rock shows. That's why I used that example. That's the example of a lot of the videos that are circulating online. But in no way am I saying that this is like specific to the genre or
definitely
the people who
not
were there. Like this
no,
is,
and
this
I
is
think
a problem,
that
a larger problem.
Yeah, and artists speak so often about how much they love their fans and appreciate their fans. And while you can't expect artists to know 100% of what's going on all the time, there's, you know, lights and they're performing and
everything
else like that.
And they can't always hear, right? Like they're connected to
earpieces
and things like that. I'm willing to give a certain amount of grace,
right.
But you
cannot be on stage with something like that happening. And like we said earlier in the episode, we've both seen, you know, instances where less has happened and shows have stopped. So to me, that does say that you do have to kind of like have that integrity and be willing to shut down your show that you've worked really hard on, take that ego away in order to take care of the fans that you say that you love so much.
Yeah, I mean, and as a celebrity, especially with Travis Scott, this is his festival.
Uh-huh.
When you put your name on something, you better be ready to, you know, sink or swim with it. Like, that's kind of how it goes. Like, you put your name on this. The police chief did say that he spoke to Travis Scott before the show and voiced some concerns. So I think you gotta make sure it's right. Like, you're running a tight ship. Like, you have to. So yeah, it's just tragic. Okay. Well, I have some COVID news. This is actually from last week. We didn't get to it last week.
Yeah.
So it starts off bad, but we move into a more positive space. Okay.
Okay, perfect.
So the bad is that right now the United States has surpassed 750,000 COVID-19 deaths. And that's according to the latest data from Johns Hopkins University. The U.S. now leads the world with the most COVID-19 deaths, followed by Brazil, who has more than 600,000 deaths. Since the beginning of the pandemic, more than 46 million Americans have been infected with COVID-19.
Wow.
So that's shitty, right?
Honestly, that like doesn't really surprise me. Like everybody knows multiple people that have had COVID, I feel like. It's insane.
Yes. I mean, it's upsetting because
we never got it. How did that happen?
I don't
so
know.
Lucky.
Or like we were asymptomatic, or you know,
I literally never left my fucking house.
Well, yeah, for like months and months. But also I know everyone says this, but I was really sick like literally 2 weeks before lockdown. So maybe I had it then. And
that's
I don't know.
True. Because
I was really
sick
like a couple of weeks before we went into lockdown, like in February, like mid-February.
Ooh.
So I don't know. That's possible. But I know a lot of people say that. They're like, I bet I had it already. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
No way to know for sure at this point. But it is upsetting because it's just like, America, what are you doing? Like,
we
have so much access. We have so much privilege that other countries don't have in terms of access to the vaccine.
Yeah.
That it's so such a bummer that we're in this
space. Even like very surprising to me hearing that people in my life are just now getting vaccinated, like a few coworkers. I'm like, really?
Yeah, I need
why
to go
the
get
fuck did you wait so long?
I need to go get my booster. I'm eligible for my booster. Yeah, I really need to go get it.
Same.
But Anthony got really sick when he got it, and I'm like, I don't have a good time to be that sick.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that at least now, like, I can maybe prepare for how shitty I'm gonna feel. I was out for a good solid 2 days.
Yeah, so I'm bad. Like, I'm waiting for like a moment when I'm like, I know I can just lock myself in my house and not work on anything, because I'm afraid I'm gonna have a bad reaction. But but listeners, I'm still gonna go do it. I'm still going to do it.
100% we are. So
you should
worth
too.
It. So worth it.
So the good news in terms of COVID news is that the first pill to treat COVID has been approved in the UK.
Yes.
So the tablet, molnupiravir.
Nice.
There we go. I think that's how you say that. Will be given twice a day to vulnerable patients recently diagnosed with the disease. In clinical trials, the pill, originally developed to treat flu, cut the risk of hospitalization or death by about half.
Wow.
So the security, the health security there in England, I don't know what their titles are in their government, said that the treatment was, quote, a game changer for the most frail and immunocompromised. Hmm. So in a statement, he said, today is a historic day for our country, as the UK is now the first country in the world to approve an antiviral that can be taken at home for COVID.
That's wild.
Amazing. So like, if you know that you have it, the drug can be given within 5 days of symptoms developing, in order to be the most effective, but it should also be effective against new variants of the virus as it evolves in the future. So if you start developing COVID symptoms and you're like, maybe I have COVID, if you get tested for it immediately, and they're like, yes, you have COVID, you can take this drug at home. It's not something you have to go to the hospital for.
You don't need a prescription for it.
So the U.S. has made a purchase agreement to get 1.7 million courses of the drug at a cost of roughly $700 per patient. So we'll see how that works out with our fucked up healthcare system.
For real.
Because I wonder if it's going to be given out for free, because we are in a worldwide pandemic.
Yeah, $700 per patient.
Right. Because thus far we haven't had to pay for... Like, I haven't paid for a single COVID test, and I've had quite a few of them. Like, we didn't have to pay for the vaccine. So I'm hoping that that trend will continue with this drug, but I don't trust our healthcare system.
No.
So I really, it feels very America to charge people to stay alive. You know what I mean?
Oh, 100%.
So other countries, including Australia, Singapore, and South Korea, have also made purchase agreements. So... fingers crossed that this is something that works and becomes widely available to people.
And
so
used.
We can cut down on, you know, our overwhelmed ICUs.
Yeah. Well, I also have something involving COVID to talk about. And it's also involving sports again, because who the fuck am I? I want to talk about Aaron Rodgers. Jesus holy
Aaron,
Christ.
Aaron, I'm immunized Rodgers.
Oh my God. That is his full name. On
he
his
should
birth certificate.
Legally change it at this point.
100%. So Aaron Rodgers plays for the Green Bay Packers, and he is also engaged to the actress Shailene Woodley, who is saying
really?
A bunch of... You didn't know that?
No, I remember that he used to be with Olivia Munn. Which makes
funny.
Sense.
Who's now pregnant with John Mulaney's baby, but I think they broke up.
No, there's rumors that they broke up, but it hasn't been confirmed.
Okay.
I know. But yeah, I mean, listen, I feel like that makes sense.
But, you know, I was like looking up Shailene Woodley, anti-vax, because she's like super like
hippy dippy.
Very hippy dippy. Yeah. Like I remember her talking in an interview about like sunbathing her vagina and things like that.
Yeah. There was something involving like healing mud that I knew about her. Yeah. She's very goopy. I'll say that.
She's very, very goopy. And so it wouldn't surprise me if she's like, let's look at alternative ways of dealing with things. And it kind of seems like this guy is as well. Also, Aaron Rodgers at one point was in the running to be the new Jeopardy host. People loved him as the Jeopardy host. Honestly, I just saw clips. I thought he was great, too. I really liked the guy. I mean, I'm not a sports person, but, like, I have ESPN on in my house a lot. So
I have to say, like, you know, I didn't, before I knew anything about him personally,
right,
as far as like sports figures go, he did seem fairly charismatic. Like Tom Brady just kind of seems like an asshole. It's like, yeah, you're good at throwing the ball, but yeah, you seem like kind of a dick. Like Aaron Rodgers didn't feel that way to me. Like he did feel like a more kind of like personable,
approachable, yeah, kind person. Of person.
But this is some this bullshit.
Is freaking wild. So he tested positive for COVID-19, which kind of outed the fact that he was not vaccinated, as he had told reporters that he was, quote, immunized. And
that's some shady shit right there, isn't
it? Yeah, it's super shady. I guess he was doing some like homeopathic treatment and things like that.
That's not how that works. That's not, look, just because you gargled colloidal silver, it does not mean that you are immunized
100%
to a disease.
Yeah, but he was still telling the NFL that he was immunized or whatever, and whatever homeopathic treatment this is, scientists in the NFL do not receive that as a valid vaccination.
No kidding.
Right. So, and it gets better because now he's also using, you know, homeopathic treatments to heal his COVID and everything like that. And
I heard he got shit from Joe Rogan, which is...
No, he didn't get shit from Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan is helping him.
No, that's what I mean. Is he, yes, got like ideas from him?
Yes. Like, oh, I thought, oh, you meant like got shit from him, like Joe Rogan made fun of him. No, no, no.
No,
they're,
no,
like,
no.
Buddy, buddy, buddy.
Yeah.
So,
never take advice from Joe Rogan. Let's,
oh my
just
God,
say that.
We need to do a whole episode on Joe Rogan.
A terrible person.
So Aaron appeared on the Pat McAfee show on Friday and said a bunch of stuff, starting with, I'm going to have the best immunity possible now based on the 2.5 million person study from Israel that the people that get COVID and recover have the most robust immunity. I'm thankful for people like Joe stepping up and using his voice. I'm thankful for my medical squad, and I'm thankful for all the love and support I've gotten. But I've been taking monoclonal antibodies, ivermectin. Yeah, zinc, yeah, vitamin C, and DHCQ, and I feel pretty incredible. Of these, only monoclonal antibodies are approved treatments for COVID-19, but those alone could not account for any improvement in his symptoms. And the Center for Disease Control and Prevention noted that the Israeli study that he referred to looked at people who had been vaccinated 6 months before or longer, which doesn't really give a clear
like indication.
Yeah, yeah. Of like immunity and things like that.
It's so dangerous for people like him to come out and say things like this. Same thing with, yeah, Joe Rogan. Like, first of all, your access to resources is not that, like, a rich person recovering from COVID and a poor person recovering from COVID are
two very different things.
Their journeys with the disease are going to be very, very different. Your access to doctors, medicine, and monitoring, it's completely different.
Yeah, and if you try something and it doesn't work, we can rush you to a hospital and it's not going to be the end of the world.
And Joe Rogan is partially responsible for all of those people who took ivermectin that was not meant for humans.
Yeah.
That was meant for livestock.
Yeah.
And got very sick.
I guess now Aaron Rodgers is taking it.
Disgusting. Stop
it. It's so gross. So also on the Pat McAfee show, he said, I realize I'm in the crosshairs of the woke mob right now. So before my final nail gets put in my cancel culture casket, I think I would like to set the record straight on so many of the blatant lies that are out there about myself.
Cool.
He said the media was on a, quote, witch hunt.
Literally,
trigger word,
stop.
To find out which NFL players were vaccinated. He describes himself as not an anti-vax flat earther, but that he's a, quote, critical thinker.
Okay.
Yeah. And now, okay.
Did your own research until listening to Joe Rogan and some light Googling? Because that's not enough.
100%. That's exactly what he did. And now there's a picture that is allegedly of him leaving the house, breaking his quarantine. And Shailene Woodley has taken to Instagram and being like, LOL, nice try. His hands are way hairier, or his feet are way bigger. I think I know what my fiance looks like more than you would. Blah, blah, blah. All that, like, she's like going off. And I'm like, this isn't a good look on you,
ma'am. Protect your career, because...
For fucking real. Like, he is not worth your career, and you have a great one. So,
yikes.
Watch it.
Yikes.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's very frustrating for me, like, when people with platforms like this use it for this, purpose. Yeah. Like, and they feel emboldened because they feel like they're being backed by all of these people who believe the same things that they believe.
Exactly.
So they feel like they're speaking up for the little people, right? You know, against the woke mob. But it's just like, man, you're a millionaire. This whole cancel culture bullshit, stop it right now. Like, stop it. Like, honestly, we need to do an entire episode on cancel culture, because that trigger word that so many people use is so, it's such bullshit.
Yeah.
Because it's just,
it's
like,
very fear-mongery.
Is Dave Chappelle canceled? Because last time I checked, he's one of the wealthiest comedians to exist.
Yeah. And is Chrissy Teigen really canceled?
Yeah. Like, stop it.
Yeah.
Just
stop it. You stop it right now.
Look, I'm not in the mood.
You stop. You
daylight
go to your
savings
room.
Is messing with my mood. And
what's messing with your mood?
Daylight savings.
Oh, I thought you, sorry, I was speaking at the same time of you, so I didn't hear what you said.
No, like, it's getting dark while I'm still at work, which is pissing me off.
It's really not good. Yeah.
So my tolerance for bullshit is at an all time low.
And getting lower. Okay. Every day, every right. passing day, that tolerance is getting lower and lower in my life.
As my age rises, my tolerance for bullshit goes down.
100%. We're going to be the meanest bitches in the world in our 80s.
I plan on being the grumpiest old lady.
Be like, no.
Holding nothing back. Nothing.
Keegan's just going to go, listen. Listen.
And they will, because I'll be old.
Which is why you're going to have to say it even more. You're
command
just going
to respect.
Scream it. Listen. Listen. Oh, my goodness. Well, that's all I have for today. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about?
That's all I got.
All right, everybody. If there's anything that you would like us to discuss in next week's news episode, please email us or direct message us. You can email us at neighborhoodfeminist@gmail.com or direct message us on Instagram @angryneighborhoodfeminist. You can also join us on Facebook. We have a business page where you can rate and review us, or go to the group page and chat with your fellow listeners. Last but certainly not least, we've been getting a few more reviews lately. We would like for that to continue. So if you haven't done so already, please hop on over to your Apple Podcast app and leave us a 5-star review with a quick sentence about why you enjoy the show. All right, so we have for you today with all of